Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord on this fourth Sunday in Lent. Foolishness, arrogance, humility, sorrow, mercy, words which describe our life and so connect with our scripture readings for today. Thank God for His mercies new once again today. And so God help us continually take advantage of His mercies, living each day in light of those mercies, which is another reason why we are gathered together here today to do just that. For this too is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
Amen.
We turn our attention with that in mind to hymn 389. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless, worthy, and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall. Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us safely through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. For this fourth Sunday in Lent, our first reading comes to us from Judges chapter 10, a hard lesson for Israel to learn. What can we learn from it? Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Ashtoreths and the gods of Aram and the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, he became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan in Gilead, the land of the Amorites. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. Israel was in great distress. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." The Lord replied, When the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Moabites oppressed you, and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble. But the Israelites said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now. Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord. And he could bear Israel's misery no longer. The word of the Lord. What benefit is there in being humble? Our second lesson from James chapter 4. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. A question for us, which son are we more like? Perhaps there's a hint of both of them in each one of us. Our Lord tells us, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, sent off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance. This from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention on the Old Testament reading, so we hear once again these words, "We have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now." Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed people of God, through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what comes in green looks deceivingly beautiful, likes dry and wet climates, resistant to some chemicals, will annoy you at times, especially when pops up in places you do not want to see them. Now remember, we're talking about a what and not a who. Weeds will take over a lawn, a garden, a parking lot, a patio, and more, especially if attention is not paid to them. It does not take long for weeds, does it, to show up. Thus, our constant attention is necessary to stay on top of weed control, or else they will take advantage of our spaces. And then when it comes to controlling weeds, it is good to know the difference between the weed killer options that are available to us, as not all work the same, do they? Controlling unwanted weeds, in a way, is really no different than controlling what is not good for us in our life. As weeds can choke out the good and desirable plants and grass, so sin in its various forms can choke out faith and what is good for us in our life. Not every offered solution to sin and unwanted situations is good for us physically, emotionally, and above all, spiritually. Take abortion, for example. There may be men and women who did not think that their fooling around would lead to an unwanted pregnancy. The automatic solution, however, is not the taking of a life, though murder in this way is considered legal. Such an action does come with spiritual, physical, emotional risks. So what can be done with sin? Sin in general, and more specifically, the sin in our own life, past, present, and still to commit sins. The answer has not changed over the years. The answer has the God of the Bible at the heart of it. In other words, for us to stay on top of sin, this is what has to happen. Take advantage of God's mercy, which translates into remaining faithful to God only, as well as remaining faithful to His ways only. Old Testament Israel, set apart by God to be His people for the purpose of having the Messiah come in human flesh, took advantage of God's mercy, just not always in a positive way. Way too often, they put God's ways on the back burner, neglected those ways for their own ways. Guided by their sinful nature, along with the influences of the world around them. Our sermon text takes us to the time Judges ruled over Israel. Israel was settling in that promised land of Canaan, a land that God had helped deliver into their hands as he drove the nations who were there in that land. He drove them out as a punishment on those nations for rejecting the Creator God. Joshua, the courageous leader of Israel following the death of Moses, had now passed away himself. And so Judges filled the gap of leadership. For without it, without them filling that void, the people simply did as they saw fit, though knowing better. The more things change, the more they stay the same, don't they? Each time Israel would go their own way, they would end up in trouble. They would cry out to the God to save them, to rescue them. And so he would send another judge their way who would lead them back on track. At a later point in time, that particular judge would die. And Israel, what would they do? They would go right back into their own sinful ways. Or as our text says again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The text goes on to say what evil they got caught up in this time. As we review what they got caught up in, think of how we individually and we collectively, inside and outside of the church, are guilty of living life our way. Like weeds which keep coming back where they should not be. Israel gave their attention to multiple gods. Gods invented by human beings in an attempt to address their natural knowledge of God being accountable to a higher power. The created gods, the gods invented by human beings, put emphasis on what people needed to do in order to appease these gods. Guilt then was a huge and powerful motivator in driving people to appease these gods. Many of these false gods had sexual acts connected to their worship, along with the overindulging of alcohol and all that condition can lead to with regrets. Children were even being offered up as sacrifices, as another way to worship these created gods. So what are the gods that we have invented, which take our focus away from the Creator God and what He has in mind for us to do and to be like? Society keeps putting the burden on its citizens of being more accepting of what God calls sin and indecent and immoral behavior, while ignoring the blatant consequences that have already popped up due to lifestyles that are contrary to God's ways and being pushed and accepted among us. Authority has been bullied into almost being ineffective. What is good is now considered evil, and what is evil is now considered good. This has not happened overnight, has it? Behind closed doors. And once the weeds are allowed to take over, it is not so easy, possible, just not easy, to get the weeds under control. Israel got to a very low point once again in their history as a result of their blatant turning away from the Creator God, that they finally had to cry out to Him, "We have sinned." The Lord heard their cry. But He was not going to just be their constant get-out-of-jail-free card. He pointed out to them that they were content to follow the created gods. So now in their despair, they should turn to these created gods for relief. But God and Israel knew that that was not the answer to their problem. However, God wanted Israel to further acknowledge the situation they had put themselves into. And the people of Israel then, at that point in time, made it clear that their only hope was in the Creator God, and said, "We put our lives into your hands. In your mercy, deal with us as you, Lord, see fit." And so as a result, Israel got rid of the created gods among them, including the images of those gods. They gave their attention to the Creator God and His ways. God delivered them once again. Not first and foremost because they had cried out to the Lord, but more so because of the promise He had made regarding the Savior for all people. Pointing out the fact that God wants to deliver all people, including you and me, from the trouble we put ourselves into time and time again. We have to admit that we too often treat God like He is there for us, rather than realizing that we are here for Him. He does not owe us anything, while we, on the other hand, owe Him everything. How many times in our life have we put God on the shelf when what looks like a better offer comes along? Not just on a Sunday morning, but even when what could be done during the week, making time during the week to meditate on His Word. God does not say that we cannot do other things. It is that when we do those other things, we need to recognize if those other things are going to be things that can ruin our relationship with the Creator God and so jeopardize our eternity in heaven. We are not to do those things which will bring harm to other people, along with ourselves. Diseases are not just spread innocently. We live in it with an attitude of, I want what I want because I am the boss of me, and yet realize time and time again that life is not about me and my wants, as we come to realize that there are other people who want what they want, and so we get discarded and or beat down. It boils down to attitude and motive and priorities. And when it comes to our society, a lack of faithfulness to the Creator God is evident among us. And so then are the consequences of such unfaithfulness. Dear friends, redeemed by Christ, the solution remains the same. Get back on track and stay on track with God. Not just any God, but the one who has created us. And not only has created us, but also the one who has redeemed us. And calls us to live life not as we please, but rather to follow His ways, which are best for us. And so He has given us what we need to do just that. He has given us a Savior to save us from ourselves and the harm that we put ourselves into. He has given us His own Son who came in human flesh to live the life demanded of us but we cannot live, and to die the death we deserve on account of our sins, of our unfaithfulness. Because of Jesus, then, we have hope. We have assurances. We have forgiveness. We have incentive to be faithful to our God with our entire life. Thankfully, then, God is patient with His creation. He demonstrates His patience toward us each and every day as His mercies toward us are fresh and new each and every day. His mercy, then, is not to be taken advantage of in the sense that we ignore it, that we put it on a shelf and hope it will be there one day when we really need it. Rather, it is to be savored and evident in our life each and every day as we carry ourselves through this life. This is important, as the gods of this world are still really influential. Schools and workplaces are not always faith-friendly. Our own flesh likes to reason out certain behaviors as being acceptable. Dear friends, if the weeds are allowed to grow in our heart and in our mind, the faith we have been given could end up eliminated, along with the blessings that come with it. And when that happens, such will be evident when we will not even care any longer what is God-pleasing. Taking advantage of God's mercy, then, calls for repentance. Seeing ourselves for what we really are, sinners. But sinners who also have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It involves humility, not thinking more of ourselves than we ought, or resting on our own merits as a way to earn God's favor among us. It involves not just watching the weeds grow around us and in us, but diligently nurturing our hearts and our minds with the truths of God's Word, which is the only effective way to keep the weeds at bay and from taking over control of our life. Let us then not be like Old Testament Israel. Once rescued from God, would then quickly go back to their old ways of time and time again, ways which were contrary to God. And then at one point, to find themselves crying out to God, only to find out that He was not going to answer, as His mercy for them had run out. Rather, continue to take up the ways of the Lord, though such may come at an earthly cost to us. And continue to celebrate the victories that are evident in our own life and in the lives of those around us. So take advantage of God's mercy each and every day, which translates into faithfulness to Him and faithfulness to His ways only. And that is why we are here again today, right? Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to the end. Amen. Let us now boldly and confidently confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed as found for us on page 8.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Thank you.
We pray. O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live who gives us all. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Heavenly Father, you loved the world and gave your Son to liberate us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross.
We confess that without your love we are lost.
Lord of the church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Strengthen our determination to do what pleases you, no matter what the danger or the cost.
Let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom, missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians.
By your Spirit, O Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Let us pray for those who carry heavy burdens in life, the sick and the chronically ill, the depressed and the lonely, those torn by conflict in personal relationships, those victimized by war and injustice, and all who face the terrors of life with a heavy heart.
Grant them peace, O Lord.
Let us pray for those who care for others, pastors and counselors, physicians and nurses, social workers and caring friends, all who feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, and stand beside the dying. O Lord, birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. And the love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who willingly died under the curse of this world's sin, so that we may live forever in the light of God's blessing. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
This truly is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and
be glad.
Bible study taking place today. Our last look at the book of Malachi here in the church sanctuary. And teen and Sunday school taking place in the regular rooms that are assigned for them that they use for such. To our guests among us, glad you are here. If you haven't stopped by our Welcome Center, please do so and find out more about our mission and purpose here at St. Mark's. Our fifth midweek Lenten service is coming up this Wednesday, Lord willing. 7 o'clock is the service time. Also, there will be a meal beginning at 5:30. You can see what's being served as you look at the weekly news. Also, there is a supper plan for the sixth midweek as well. Opportunities to volunteer. You can see the weekly news for more details, but just to highlight, praise and proclaim effort coming up on April 6th. An opportunity to share invites to hear the Easter message as we're going out into the community, Fair Oaks this time. Spring Cleanup Day is on April 13th. Thank you to all who have already signed up on that board there by the information board. There's still some slots. And even if we run out of space, you can still come and there's plenty of things to do. Thank you. Egg hunt supplies are still in one, so see the weekly news and also then the website. And there's a box back there by the school bulletin board for collection of those Easter hunt, Easter egg hunt supplies. If you wanted help with Easter brunch, please also see weekly news and sign-up sheets for how you can be of help for the Easter brunch. A special presentation will be taking place on April 27th at Hope in Penryn. It'll be featuring Pastor Joel Heckendorf, who is the new missionary at our latest mission startup in the Reno area. He will be there to share insights on the mission work there. Everyone is invited. Mission boxes, if you have been returning those, please continue to do so. Those mission boxes will be collected and will be taken then on April 27th to the spring rally. You can empty out your box in the bigger box and take that home and refill it, or you can help yourself to a new box and fill that in. If you want to learn more about those mission boxes and the importance of supporting our missionaries in that way, again, go to the information board or talk to Ellie or Clara on more information about that. Again, see the weekly news for more other timely information. Have a great day in the Lord as you greet each other as you leave His house of worship. Thank you.